Greetings to each of you this morning. I greet you all in the name of Jesus. I have been tremendously blessed being here this morning with the songs that we sang and the meditations that have been shared. I was blessed with Brother Eldon's opening and also with Joshua's message to the children. I think it very well ties in with what I would like to share with us today. I think I need a marker. Would someone please get a marker for the whiteboard? Life is short, eternity is long. Thank you, brother. Life is short, eternity is long. I am convinced this morning that just this title could preach the message. If I just write this title on the board and I would take my seat and we would all take the next 45 minutes to sit here and ponder that title, I believe it would be very effective. But my goal is not to teach something new this morning, but rather to give us a sober reminder of the reality that our days are numbered. You know, when you are young, life seems to go slow. Maybe you have things that you're looking forward to in your life. Maybe for those of you who are 15, 16 years of age, maybe you're looking forward to the day that you might get your driver's license. Maybe for those of you who are single, maybe you're looking forward to the day that you might be married and have a family. It can be all kinds of different goals that you're looking forward to in life. I well remember those days in my younger life, looking forward to goals like that. And it seems oftentimes that the time just doesn't move fast enough, right? But as you get older, and some of those goals are met or accomplished, then there comes a time when time seems to speed up and go much faster. But the reality is that each and every one of us have 24 hours in each day. And that's 1,440 minutes, that's 86,400 seconds that we have every day, and all of us have that same time. The question is, what do we do with it? What do we do with it? Do we waste and squander the time that we have, or do we use it wisely to prepare for eternity? That's the question. I have some statistics here I found interesting. I'd like to pause for a word of prayer before we go on here. Father, this morning we pause before you, and Lord, we consider who you are. We consider, Lord, that you are the creator of the universe, and you have created us. And Father, you have loved us, and you desire for us to love you, to commit our lives to you. And Lord, this morning we just pray that you would bless our assembly here, that you would bless the preaching of your word, Father. Lord, that you would speak to each and every one of our hearts, that you would teach us of your ways. I pray, Father, that you would just help me as I share your word here, the burden that you've laid on my heart to be able to communicate effectively, Lord, that you would receive all the honor and glory. Be with us and bless our time together. In Jesus' name, amen. So what do we do with those 24 hours, the 1,440 minutes, and the 86,400 seconds that we have every day? The average person spends 9 hours per day sleeping, 7 hours per day working, 1 1/4 hours per day eating, 4.5 hours per day with leisure media, and that includes watching television, scrolling social media, exercising, or reading. That's 91% of our 24-hour day. The rest 9%, or 2 1/4 hours, is spent in various things like cleaning, laundry, food preparation, lawn care, different things like that. Basically, you could break it down, simplify it into, we spent 16 hours of our day eating and sleeping. That's 2/3 of our 24-hour period. And then we would have an 8 hours remaining to eat and to do all of the other things that I mentioned above, just to simplify it. That's the American average. But it would be very interesting to know the average breakdown of us here at Bethlehem Christian Fellowship. I really wonder how much it would vary from the American average. As I was preparing for this and thinking over my own life, I am almost 44 years old, and I know there's of you in here that are older than that. That's nothing to you, but I'm just sharing these thoughts of my own life. And next year, my parents will be 70. Yesterday, it was a year ago that my neighbor Dan died, and I know some of you walked through us with that, and you remember that. I don't know where the last year has went. 3 of my children are already teenagers. The question is, what have I done with these last 44 years of my life? Young people, please hear me this morning. You likely have more time and opportunity remaining than I do. And I would like for you to hear. Of course, we are not all promised 70 years, like the scripture mentions and like we sang in the song this morning. We're not even promised tomorrow. But we have today. We have today. All of us here have today. And what are we going to do with the remaining days and time that God grants to us? That's the question. I'd like to turn to a scripture in James 4. James 4, verse 13. James, in the context here, he is talking about how that we should not make big definite plans in life because we know not what might be tomorrow or next week. And he says in verse 13, "Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow." He's saying we shouldn't make definite plans like we will do this in the next year or whatever it might be. I know we need to plan. We need to do some of those things, but we need to do it according to the will of God. And then he says in verse 14, "Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow." We don't know what will be tomorrow. "For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that." Our life is a little vapor that appears for a little time and then vanisheth away. I think all of us understand what a vapor is. We have all seen that when we have a tea kettle on the stove and we're cooking water or boiling water for tea or coffee or whatever. as it starts to boil, that steam or that vapor comes out of the spout, and you see it for about this much, and then it dissipates into the air. It is the idea of water dissipating into the atmosphere or vaporizing, and you see it for that little period of time, and then it disappears into the air. And sometimes you'll see it on cool mornings, and if the water is warmer, you'll see on ponds, you'll see the steam coming up and vaporizing into the air. Just for a little point of time, we see that vapor. And James refers to our life as being a vapor like that, appearing for just a little time and then vanishing away. The average lifespan in the U.S. is 79 years. It's actually up from what it was. It's at an all-time high, and some of those numbers have to do with COVID, and I don't understand all of that. I didn't research into that. But the average lifespan in the U.S. is actually 79 years. But 42% of the population dies before reaching that age. So just because that's the average lifespan, 42% of the population will never reach that age. And we can't even start to compare that with eternity because eternity is forever. But sometimes we have to reason in terms that our finite minds can think or grasp a concept. And so I thought about, what if eternity was 100,000 years? Let's just look at, say, if. Something that our minds can grasp. What if it was 100,000 years? The average life would be a 0.0008% of that, if it was 100,000 years. But it isn't, so it's not even reality, because eternity is forever. But our minds have a hard time grasping that idea of forever. I thought about a little analogy I'd like to share here, just something for our minds to be able to grasp this. Let's picture a big rope, like a marine rope, you know, that they use to tie up the ships, a big heavy rope. And I've never seen one of those close up, so I'm not sure how big they are, but I'm just picturing a rope that's maybe a foot in diameter. And let's picture that rope that would start, the end of it would be right here in Warsaw, Ohio, and it would go all the way around the globe, down past China and back up and would come back to Warsaw. I don't know how many thousands of miles that would be. But we have a big rope, stretches all the way around the globe. Now let's find the end of this rope, and let's find one strand. Just one strand. It's made of many, many strands. Let's find one strand. Let's take a Sharpie marker and make a dot on that one strand. That dot is our life. It's my life. It's your life. And the rest of the rope is eternity. That's quite an imagination, but it's something that our minds can maybe grasp a little bit. That little dot on that one strand is my life, and the rest of that rope is eternity. It's still not even a comparison, because eternity is forever. How about this analogy? Let's let our minds wander to the seashore, where there's sand. And we'll reach down and we'll pick up one little grain of sand. Just one. That's my life. That's your life. And all the rest of the sand in the world is eternity. Just something to think about. That's still not even reality, because eternity is forever. How about this, in a very familiar song that we all know well, when we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. When we've been there for 10,000 years, we still have no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. I'm just trying to bring out some thoughts for us to think about our life compared to eternity. There really is no way to compare it. You've heard the saying, life is short, enjoy it. How about this one? Eternity is long, prepare for it. Eternity is long, prepare for it. And I think even the proper way to say this is long isn't really the word. It should be forever. Eternity is forever. Prepare for it. But in our finite minds, long is something that we can kind of grasp the idea of, and it is long. When you walk into a cemetery and you notice on the tombstone the name, you'll notice the birth date and the date of death of the person that died and is buried there. In between those two dates, you'll see a little dash separating the birth date and the date of death. That little dash represents our life here on earth. It is but a short little time. And how are we going to live it? How are we going to live it? Let's turn to Psalm chapter 90. Psalm chapter 90, starting in verse 1. This is the prayer of Moses. Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Verse 2, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hadst formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. I'd like to stop there for just a moment and consider verse 2. Even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. I pondered this verse, and I wondered why it says from everlasting to everlasting. Why doesn't it just say forever? But again, I think our human minds need some sort of something to grasp a hold of, to think, right? Everlasting to everlasting. It's almost like from the beginning to the end. But if you consider, it doesn't say the beginning to the end. It says everlasting to everlasting. And everlasting is forever. It has no beginning, no end. The Webster's 1828 dictionary gives the definition as eternal duration, past and future. Eternal duration, past and future. So, Moses is praying here that God, you are from eternal duration to eternal duration. In other words, it is just always. There is no beginning and no end. It's hard to fathom that. But God is, always has been, and always will be. That's eternity. Just trying to bring out some thoughts here of how we can better realize eternity. In Exodus 3, verse 14, God said these words to Moses. It says, and God said to Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me to you. So the Lord named himself I am, not I was or I will be or I have been, but I am. And Jesus said the same words in John 8, verse 58. Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. So God is an eternal and everlasting God. Let's keep reading here. Verse 3, thou turnest man to destruction and sayest, return, ye children of men. For 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday when it is past, and as a watch in the night. So our God is a timeless God. When you're thinking of eternity and everlasting, time has no meaning. For 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday when it is past. It is like the last 86,400 seconds that we lived is as 1,000 years to God, or as a watch in the night. From what I understand, a watch in the night, Back in the Old Covenant times, a watch in the night, the watches were split up into three, and each watch had 4 hours. So the first watch would have been from 6 to 10, and the middle watch would have been from 10 to 2, and the final watch would have been from 2 to 6. But then that changed in the New Covenant, and the watch was split into fours, and there were 3 hours each. But either way, a watch would have been 3 to 4 hours. That's the same as 1,000 years before God. Hard to fathom. And verse 5, thou carriest them away as with a flood. They are as a sleep. In the morning they are like grass which groweth up. In the morning it flourisheth and groweth up, and in the evening it is cut down and withereth. So it talks about grass that grows in the morning, and in the evening it is cut down and withered. For we are consumed by thine anger, and by thy wrath are we troubled. Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 80 years. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off and we fly away. And so we see here the average lifespan is talking about here would be 70 years or by strength maybe 80 years, but yet it is nothing, for it is soon cut off and we fly away. Or as a tale that is told. So, whether it's 5 years, 75 years, 105, the time that we have, what we see, our human minds, we reason with time. We work with time. To us, time is a big thing. So, whether young or old, it's a big thing to us as humans. It's how we think. But to God, it is nothing. He's a timeless God. We heard like, the 24 hours to us are like 1,000 years to him. So whether God calls us home at 5 years old or we live to 105, it really makes no difference to God. And I have some interesting facts here about animal lifespans I'd just like to throw in here just to allow us to think for a moment and compare them with our average 70 to 80 years. I found it interesting. As we think of comparing eternity with our 70 or 80 years, let's compare a few of these animal lifespans with our normal 70 to 80 years. The first one, and I think this is the shortest lived animal, or actually it's an insect, is mayflies. They actually only live for about 24 hours. And some certain species live less than that. But the average mayfly lifespan is 24 hours. That's a big comparison with us living 70 or 80 years. The second one is fruit flies. I think we all know what fruit flies are. They only live 10 to 14 days on average. Mosquitoes, they live for 2 weeks. Worker bees, I know some of you in here work with bees, and you probably know more about this than I do, but my understanding is worker bees that gather pollen, nectar, and make honey, they will only live about 40 days in the summertime. I think if it's cool, they can live longer, but in average warm temperatures, they'll only live about 40 days. Gives new meaning to the idea of working till you die, right? They work hard and then live for 40 days and die. Now, on the other hand side, the Greenland sharks live to be 400 to 500 years old. And that data isn't exactly accurate because they haven't been tracking them for that long. But from the evidence they have, they would live to be between 400 and 500 years old. And then also, the tortoises are known to live a long time, the giant turtles. There's an algebra giant tortoise named Jonathan that is reported to be 191 years old. And he may be the oldest living land animal today. And currently he is cared for by a veterinarian on the island of St. Helena. Just found that interesting. So whether it's 24 hours or 500 years, the time is really nothing compared to eternity. To God, the time is nothing. Back to Psalms 90 here. Make a look at verse 12. This is our key verse today. If you forget everything else that I shared today, please remember this verse. Verse 12 says, "So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom." Now this word number, I pondered this verse yesterday, and I appreciate what you shared, Brother Simon, about numbering off our days. I think that's very good. But if you look at the Greek word that number comes from, it's the Greek word mana. And I'd like to turn to another place in the scriptures where this same word is translated into a different English word that might bring some clarification to this. It simply means to prepare. And I'd like to turn to the book of Jonah for a moment and read a couple verses there, and that might bring some clarity to that. The book of Jonah. So in the book of Jonah, this word is actually used four times. And the first time it's used is in Jonah chapter 1, verse 17. We all know the story very well. And in verse 17 there of chapter 1, it says, "Now the Lord had prepared..." That word prepared is that same word, mana, number. "The Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights." It means to prepare, to think ahead, and to plan for, or prepare in simple terms. The second place it's used here in the book of Jonah is if you flip over to chapter 4, verse 6. It's actually used in verse 6, 7, and 8 are the other three places. And it's where verse 6 says, "And the Lord prepared," again that word, numbered, "a gourd and made it come up over Jonah, that it might be a shadow over his head to deliver him from his grief. So Jonah was exceeding glad for the gourd." Next verse, "But God prepared," again that same word, "a worm when the morning rose the next day, and it smote the gourd that it withered." And again in the next verse 8, "And it came to pass when the sun did arise that God prepared," again numbered, "vehement east wind, and the sun beat upon the head of Jonah that he fainted and wished in himself to die and said, 'It is better for me to die than to live.'" And then God spoke to Jonah there. But I just wanted to bring out that translation. That word number, teach us to number our days. It is simply to prepare, to think ahead, to think upon, and to prepare ahead of time. The New Living Translation says this verse in this way, and I really like this. Listen closely to these words. So this is Psalms 90, verse 12. In the New Living Translation, and it says, "Teach us to realize the brevity of life so that we may grow in wisdom." Think upon it. Prepare. Teach us to realize the brevity of life so that we may grow in wisdom. I think that's very clear. It is important to recognize the brevity of life so that we don't squander the time we've been given. God wants us to live with purpose, recognizing that the clock is counting down to the moment we step through death's portal and enter our eternal state. At that moment, the books are closed and we will begin to reap the consequences of our choices on earth. So it's very important to consider the brevity of life. Hebrews 9, verse 27, "And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation," for those that are prepared and are looking for his second return. Let's keep reading here in Psalms 90, verse 13. Here is a plea for mercy. This is beautiful. "Return, O Lord, how long? And let it repent thee concerning thy servants. O satisfy us early with thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad according to the days wherein thou hast afflicted us, and the years wherein we have seen evil. Let thy work appear unto thy servants, and thy glory unto their children. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish thou the work of our hands upon us. Yea, the work of our hands establish thou it." I'm actually going to take the liberty to read these verses in the New Living Translation. I really like this. It says in verse 13, "O Lord, come back to us. How long will you delay? Take pity on your servants." Verse 14, "Satisfy us each morning with your unfailing love, so we may sing for joy to the end of our lives." Verse 15, "Give us gladness in proportion to our former misery. Replace the evil years with good." Verse 16, "Let us, your servants, see you work again. Let our children see your glory." Verse 17, "And may the Lord our God show us his approval and make our efforts successful." Yes, make our efforts successful. What a beautiful plea for mercy and prayer to the Lord. I'd like to turn to 2 Peter chapter 3. Second Peter chapter 3, I'd like to start reading in verse 1. "This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts, and saying, Where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men." You know, there will be people among us that, or around us, that scoff that the Lord is coming back. But he says in verse 8 here, "But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. This time is nothing to the Lord. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burnt up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. Being prepared and looking for the coming of the Lord, numbering our days, I'd like to look at a warning in Luke 12. In Luke chapter 12, starting in verse 15. This is Jesus teaching. In verse 15, and he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, this will I do, I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. He was not numbering his days. Let's look at the next verse. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. So if we are not numbering our days or preparing our short life here on earth for eternity, we are as this man, and the Lord called him a fool. Because this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Jesus also stressed the urgency of living for God while the opportunity remains. Let's look at his words in John 9. In John 9, verse 4, Jesus said these words, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. How do we work the works of God? Well, Jesus gave an answer to that. In John 6, verse 28, Jesus said these words, then said they unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. You know, last Sunday, Brother John shared the message with us about the unspeakable gift, the gift of salvation. God has prepared a wonderful way through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ for us to be prepared for that everlasting eternity. Brothers and sisters, let's not waste or squander the precious time that God has given to us. We're not going to do it by wasting our time scrolling on our devices, searching for the latest news, posting on social media, watching YouTube videos. I'm not saying these things are all sinful things, but when they consume a large part of our life, they become a problem. I was tremendously blessed last Tuesday evening with all of you who came and were willing to go witnessing on the streets of Warsaw and Coshocton. That's what I'm talking about. What if you had spent those 2 to 3 hours on your devices, selfishly scrolling through social media or catching up on the latest news? But instead, you chose to go out and share the gospel. That's what I'm talking about, brothers and sisters. What are we feeding our minds with? Heavenly manna or worldly wisdom? Lord, give us wisdom. We need the wisdom of God. And James talks about that in James chapter 1, verse 5, how that he gives to all men liberally if we ask of him in faith. Let's turn to Proverbs 2. I'd like to read about the wisdom of God there. Proverbs 2, the Lord gives wisdom. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures. Brother Elton shared with us about seeking the Lord, going out into the woods and finding the Lord. We are promised that we will find if we seek. Here it talks about seeking for wisdom. If thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures. How about taking a metal detector and looking for treasures? Eventually you find something. Well, this is a promise that we have, that when we seek, and then verse 5, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. That's a promise we have. Verse 6, for the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. How do we hear these words coming out of the Lord's mouth? Right here. The word of God. For out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. Verse 7, he layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walketh uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path. When wisdom entereth into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul. Discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee. To deliver thee from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaketh froward things, who leave the paths of unrighteousness, and walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice to do evil, and delight in the frowardness of the wicked, whose ways are crooked, and they forward in their paths, to deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the stranger which flattereth with her words, which forsaketh the guide of her youth and forgetteth the covenant of her God. For her house inclineth unto death, and her paths unto the dead. None that go unto her return again, neither take they hold of the paths of life. That thou mayest walk in the way of good men and keep the paths of the righteous. For the upright shall dwell in the land, and the perfect shall remain in it. But the wicked shall be cut off from the earth, and the transgressors shall be rooted out of it. Lord, give us wisdom. Teach us to realize the brevity of life so that we may grow in wisdom. In closing, I'd like to turn to Matthew 25. In thinking of our short time that we have here on earth compared to eternity, Matthew 25, starting in verse 31. When we come to that time in our life, when our life is over here on earth, we will hear one of two things. Let's read this passage here. This is the Lord separating the sheep and the goats. And we're going to be in one of those two categories. And that depends whether we have prepared or not. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations. And he shall separate them one from another as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. These were prepared. They thought about the short life here on earth, and they prepared. They believed in Jesus. I'm going to skip on down. We know this passage very well. Let's skip down to verse 41. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. And I'll stop there. That was the two phrases I wanted. We're going to hear one of those two words. We don't even know if we have the rest of this day promised or how much opportunity we have remaining. Time is nothing to the Lord, but eternity is forever. Eternity is long. Prepare for it. Let me rephrase that. Eternity is forever. Prepare for it. God bless you all.